VX W243CL Shelbyville. High school basketball is on.
Driving hard on the left hand as nobody stopped ball and getting to the glass and finishing for two.
High school basketball is brought to you by Blue River Restoration, Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition, McKay Manor, First Bank Shelbyville.
Two post players working well together.
Acra Automotive.
Nice high-low play there, walling off her defender.
Cagney's Pizza King. Sandman Brothers. J&B Quality Home Furnishings. High school basketball is also brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance. Major Health Partners. BP Dock Shops. Christian Electric. Hoosier Realtor. Penny Acres. Clark Orthodontics. Shelby Materials. H&R Block. Maximum Result.
Extra chairs are being brought to the floor for spectators not even in the gym yet at 1A Sectional 60 at Southwestern, where Oldenburg leads Jack Sendell in Game 1, and our broadcast game to come, a matchup of top 10 teams, number 4 Morristown and number 8 Hauser in semifinal play tonight. Good evening, I'm Johnny McCrory. Glad to have you here on our Stanley Jones Insurance pregame. Stanley Jones Insurance Service, you can rely on. They met in Mid-Hoosier Conference play December 1st in Morristown. Hauser 72, Morristown 65. That propelled the Jets to a conference championship in the regular season. Which one wins tonight, possibly propelling themselves on to a sectional title? My broadcast partner is Jason Parker. We have had a lot of instances where we've kind of been waiting for something. It was to go to Hoosier Gym. It was to go see the wedding tournament. It was for take number one of Morristown Hauser. We've been waiting for a long time, knowing this night on either a Tuesday, a Friday, or a Saturday was going to happen. We get it tonight.
Yeah, we do, and this crowd is absolutely amazing. That we've got a lot more people. This gym obviously holds more than Morristown. We're way above the Morristown-Shelbyville game in total attendance so far. They've brought out extra chairs. We've still got a full, looks like a full hallway, full entranceways. If Oldenburg and Jacksonville all stay, I don't know where these people are going to go. There's just no more room, and there's no more chairs. I don't think they can really add to the ends of the floor here, but we've got two rows on each end, and if each of these two schools stay around that are playing now, there's going to be a lot of people out in the hallway just watching the scoreboard.
Morristown 22-2, an 18-game win streak at one point. They have won two in a row, including a sectional quarterfinal win over Waldron Wednesday night, 68-35. The Hauser Jets, winners of 7 in a row, 10 of their last 11, and for the 8th-ranked Jets at 17-6, an admirable schedule for a 1A school playing 9 opponents 3A or higher this year.
Absolutely, and that's been the difference all year. Morristown, even after the loss early to Hauser, has had the higher ranking for the most part of the season, but the schedule strength is very, very different when you're talking about these two schools. With Morristown and Hauser, you look at the losses for Hauser, 17-6, but a one-point loss at Columbus North, who we saw Tuesday night, and we know just how deadly they can be. 10-point loss against Greensburg, a 15-point loss against Franklin, who has had very good games, a 4A loss against East Central, New Palestine with a loss at Batesville. Those are their six losses. It's fair to say if Morristown played those six teams, they'd probably lose those six games too, so a difference in schedule is why I think Morristown has they look better on paper with that record. But Hauser is battle-tested, and they have a lot of confidence coming in here with that win over Morristown early this season.
But let's focus on the one loss Morristown has since Hauser December 1st in the third game of the year. It was a 4A opponent, so at least in their one showing,
yep.
73-66 loss against Shelbyville in a feature game of the season, Morristown showed themselves very well.
Yeah, they did, and that was a game that was filled with so much hype and emotion, and I think if Morristown maybe played it again, they'd be a little bit more relaxed. But I think they played about as well as they could that game. Logan Laster, maybe not individually, but Hayden Langcable definitely played well. And Shelbyville, a good 4A team. So, I think if you throw this Hauser schedule at Morristown, I don't know that they are sitting here at 22-2 tonight.
Last time they played, early lead Morristown. Yeah. Hauser, later as the game develops, goes back into a 3-2 zone, eventually a 2-3. They stay there for about the final third of the ball game. It seemed to make some difference in eliminating Morristown from that game and getting a lead that Hauser really didn't give up through the second half.
Well, Hauser controlled so much of that game, and Alex Gross with 30 points and the field goal percentage that he had that game really controlled it. And then what I thought was the kind of the nail in the coffin in the fourth quarter was Mason Sherman knocking down two threes off kickouts from Alex Gross. So Morristown tonight has to have a different game plan. We'll get into that later, what that should be and what it probably will be. But that night, Alex Gross was too much for Morristown to handle.
6'9", 6'5", 6'3", in the starting front court for this Hauser basketball team. There is certainly an element of size against the little guys for Morristown.
Well, Morristown, you know, you're really playing five guards. Trevon Carlton is considered a forward, but he's 6'1", 6'2". If you're lucky, and he doesn't play bigger, is what I'm trying to say. He's better out in transition. He's a good heady player, but to go up against a 6'8", 6'9" kid is tough for Trevon Carlton. He's going to need help tonight.
Morristown Hauser, number 4 against number 8. The winner of our game, set to tip here in about 30 minutes or so, will meet the Twisters of Oldenburg, just completing a 47-25 victory over Jacksonville in our first semifinal. And Oldenburg, a team that they have a little bit of polish, they have a number of ball handlers, and they have a willingness, and this may come more into play tomorrow night, regardless of opponent, to sit on a basketball, and if you don't come guard them, that's just fine. They're not in any particular hurry.
Well, we saw that to end the first half tonight, 2:39 on the clock, and they pull it out, and Jacksonville allows them to hold it until the final seconds, and Oldenburg goes in and gets fouled and makes two free throws. So Oldenburg shows they're willing to do that, but after watching what we just saw here, I think more than ever we believe that this game against Hauser Morristown is basically your championship game here tonight.
Wednesday night, we spent a few moments talking about how the sectional has, at times, been heartbreaking for Morristown. 2010, one-point loss against Edinburgh in a semi. 2 years later, it was Edinburgh again by two in the semifinal. 2 years later, 2014, a one-point loss to Waldron. It came on this night in the sectional semifinal. And then this team, for the most part, this version of the Yellow Jackets that's been around now for a few years, 4-point overtime loss to a good Arlington team when they were still a very young bunch last year, giving up 73 points to Lutheran, who, by the way, did go on and win a regional semifinal game, but they suffered that loss. Let's go back and find maybe a time that Morristown handed out a little bit of heartbreak of their own, and it's the last time they saw Hauser in a postseason meeting. The year was 07. Hauser, the defending 1A state champs with a record of 19-2. They lost to Indianapolis Howe, which was starting to build what we see now at Howe. They lost by 2 to Batesville, but Morristown got them at Edinburgh 71-69 in overtime in 2007.
Yeah, a kid that I had the privilege of coaching, I had that group in sixth grade, Elliot Shannon, knocks down a shot in the lane, a little runner that bounced up off the rim and fell through and gave Morristown that win. And then they still had to come back and knock off Waldron to win that sectional down there. But, that's the last time Morristown was able to get a sectional and really hand a defeat to this Hauser team that really meant anything.
This gymnasium at Southwestern is now facing a transition period.
Yeah.
At most sectional sites across the state, they'll take 3-4 minutes. They'll sweep the floor. Some fans will leave. Maybe some are still making their way into the building. And then we would put 20 minutes on the clock and we'd be ready to go. Southwestern wisely has placed 10 minutes on the clock. They've roped off the floor, which still those ropes are starting to extend into the playing surface area. And they are allowing as many people, say, from Jacksonville and Oldenburg, certainly, who want to make their way out of the gym. They're getting them out. We have people still in the hallway who are hoping to get in and find a seat here in this facility. So now 10 minutes on the clock, thus an extension of our pregame, which is actually just fine because we have a lot to get to focus on the Jackets, the Jets, and the Brackets. And we'll take a look around the state when we come back. You're listening to High School Basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Take the action with you at Giant FM.
The crowd still milling around, some coming in, some departing, following Oldenburg's victory over Jacksonville and ahead of our game between Morristown and Hauser. Welcome to 1A basketball here in Indiana. A packed house for two top 10 teams coming up. We've even had a "We got spirit." Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you in game one?
Yeah, I was just behind the stage here while that was going on, and it was just really cool to hear the echo of a loud gym, a game going on in a packed house with two student sections yelling back and forth at each other. It was something right out of the movie Hoosiers, and it was a neat moment here about 20 minutes or so ago.
Let's make a tour around the brackets featuring teams we've seen, been affiliated with, or covered via conference around the state of Indiana this year. And first stop is 2A sectional site at Shenandoah. 16-7 Irvington, 19-4 defending sectional champ Shenandoah in game one. And Jason, game two, a rematch from last year's sectional won by Indianapolis Howell by 29, the 12th-ranked Hornets, 17-8 against 10-12 Triton Central.
Well, that's going to be a tough game for Triton Central. They got the bye, but that bye just made them be sitting ducks for Indianapolis Howell. Now, you know, anything can happen. Howell had to play Wednesday night, and Triton Central has had some extra rest, so hopefully for the Tigers, that'll give them an early advantage. Maybe they can jump out on Howe early and find a way to hold on. In the top of the bracket, you've got a really good game in Irvington Prep against Shenandoah. Shenandoah, surprisingly to us, really laid it on Eastern Hancock, beating them by 13. So Irvington Prep, Shenandoah, probably a final already. We'll have to check and see. Should have been a good game here over there tonight at Shenandoah.
4A sectional site, Tiernan Center in Richmond, game one, 6 o'clock tip, 13-9 Mount Vernon, 21-4 Connersville. Last three meetings between these teams decided by a total of 12 points, seven overtimes, all of them Connersville wins.
Yeah, Connersville, I think, right now is the team to beat in the Final Four there. New Pal and Richmond on the bottom, but Mount Vernon going to have their hands full, and again, we should have a score update on that game shortly. But 21-4 Connersville looking good to win a Richmond sectional this year.
An 8-16 Richmond team on its home floor. They do have a premier score, but they face a 14-win New Palestine team who has already won at the Tiernan Center. They did it in the season opener.
Yeah, we just saw New Pal not too long ago, so we know how dangerous they are. I look for New Palestine and Connersville to square off tomorrow night for that championship game.
4A sectional site being played at Warren Central, where the 1A or the number one team in 4A, undefeated Warren Central, expected to beat North Central, who's had a disappointing season. Warren did it during the regular season by 26. It's game one that's the feature attraction tonight. 15-6 Lawrence Central, 18-6 Lawrence North. Central, a 9-point winner when they played back in early December, and then Warren Central can see if they can extend things against one of the Lawrence schools tomorrow night.
Yeah, in North Central, having a down year, 7-14, that's going to be a tough game tonight for them with Warren Central. And then the Lawrences battle it out to see who gets the 27. Looks like they'll be 27-0 tomorrow night, Warren Central Warriors.
Let's go to Johnson County, 4A sectional site. 14-9 Franklin, playing 11-12 Whiteland. Franklin, really a good season with 14 wins. A 61-50 winner in mid-January over the Warriors. Game two, 14-8 Greenwood against 17-6 Center Grove. The Trojans, a 15-point winner when they played over Christmas.
Yeah, we know a little bit about Franklin. We know a little bit about Whiteland. Franklin really laid it to Shelbyville early in the year. The night after, Shelbyville went on the road and had an impressive win at Mount Vernon. But Whiteland is capable too, so that'll be a good game. But in the bottom of that bracket, Greenwood and Center Grove, Jace Jackson Davis, Dale Davis' son, who's being highly recruited by several schools, including Indiana, they look like the favorite at 17-6. Greenwood comes in at 14-8, and they're going to have to really make a lot of shots, score the ball early to stay in that game and not let Center Grove run away with it.
Another 4A stop in Columbus at East High School. Olympians are 12-10. They're on their home floor where they beat 14-10 Columbus North 44-37 in an ugly game back in mid-December. I would contend this is a better North team than it was December 15th.
No, well, we saw that firsthand on Tuesday night as they really dismantled Shelbyville. The Bears didn't help their own cause at all, but Columbus North played well. And then, so that sets up what is probably a packed gym down there tonight. Both Columbus schools, Bloomington South, East Central, who's having a 14-9 season. So obviously Bloomington South the favorite, but both Columbus schools come in pretty evenly matched at 12-10 and 14-10. So we'll see who advances to play most likely Bloomington South tomorrow night.
If you were planning to go to Scott Gymnasium on the campus of Seymour High School tonight, you should have left 5 hours ago.
Yep.
Number 6, Jeffersonville, 20-3 in a rematch with 4th-ranked Floyd Central, 23-1. Floyd won by 4 in mid-January. The nightcap, it won't be close, but people don't go to watch New Albany. They go to watch Romeo Langford. 3rd-ranked New Albany, 21-1, a 43-point winner over Seymour earlier this year.
Well, it's odd that it works out this way, but it does every once in a while where you have four of the top-ranked teams in the state, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central with only one loss, New Albany with only one loss, all in the same sectional. And for Seymour, they're just kind of the fourth team that's still alive right now after beating Jennings County on Wednesday night, so... Yeah, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, probably wrapping up right about now. I bet you that was a great game in front of a sold-out crowd who was lining up, I heard, about 2:30 today to get into there. And Seymour sits 8,000. They were expecting capacity crowd tonight.
Another couple quick stops as Morristown and Hauser take the floor here at Southwestern. In 3A, top-ranked Newcastle already blowing out Muncie Burris, likely to face Delta tomorrow in a rematch of HHC teams.
Yep, Newcastle comes in heavily favored to win that sectional, and Delta probably the only team that will give them a game. We'll see how much of a game tomorrow night.
I'm going to give you one more in 3A at Guerin Catholic, one game in particular. 16-8, Broad Ripple plays number 2 Attucks tonight. Attucks dominated them when they played in early January. Arlington's already played their final game. This could be it for Broad Ripple tonight.
Yeah, a sad night for Broad Ripple fans and alumni. A lot of big-time players have come out of there, most notably lately here, George Hill. So a sad night for Broad Ripple fans as they hope to extend, but Attucks will be a tough out. As long as Attucks isn't playing at 9:30 at IU East, they've been pretty good this year. We saw them against Shelbyville, and the Bears got them, but again, that tip time was 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday, a very cold Saturday. So a good game tonight should be with Broad Ripple and Attucks.
Back to our feature attraction with the Jets and the Yellow Jackets on the floor. Morristown and Hauser meet for a second time. Again, a Hauser conference victory, 72-65 in the third game of the season back on December 1st. Tell me first how maybe Morristown is different than they were a few months ago.
Well, I think two things stand out to me. I think, for one, they're deeper. They've got Kyle Krim now off the bench, who was not playing really any meaningful varsity minutes at that point of the season. He now gives them another ball handler, another shooter, and just another intelligent player to come off the bench and actually perform and do some things at any point in the game. Okay, he can come in. He could start, he could come in right away and be focused and ready to compete. So that's one of the big things. I think number two is Logan Theobald starting in that fifth spot at point guard now gives them a little bit more offensively. I think he's more confident, and the more confidence he's gained, I think the better the team has played. They trust him a little bit more. They'll give it to him in situations where I don't think they felt comfortable maybe giving it to him early. He's playing well, and that's an added bonus for Morristown.
I think the thing that people notice first about Hauser, they're a 1A team, 6'7", 6'5", 6'3", and we're not talking scrawny when we talk about the Jets.
Yeah, you're talking Sam Meek, Justin Compton's a thick kid, obviously Alex Gross, Mason Sherman's a big guard. They bring a couple kids off the bench that are about 6'4", and Sean Miller and Sam Meek, I talked about, and Trotter. So, yeah, they're 6'3", 6'4", and then obviously the big kid at 6'8". I'm not giving him 6'9". He's 6'8", if that. So, but he's a heck of a player. We'll talk more about him throughout the evening.
It's a special night. It's a packed house. Our coaches' conversations next on the Stanley Jones Insurance pregame on Giant FM.
FM Sports. Giant FM Sports.
Great matchup for this semifinal night at Southwestern. Morristown and Hauser meet for a second time. Our coach's conversation brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville, joined by Yellow Jackets head coach Scott McQuillan. And it's nights like this that you get up early in the morning, you stay after school, and you do all that other stuff to get ball games like this. Let me take you way back in time for just a moment. 2007. Morristown knocks off Hauser in overtime in a sectional semifinal, eventually wins a championship, and that was a defending state champion Hauser that was 19-2 at the time. I'm going to guess you remember that game a little bit.
You gave me some really fond memories, and you know, when I think back to that team, great group of kids, unbelievable atmosphere. You know, gosh, they were 19-2 coming off the state championship, had beat us in the regular season. We went overtime and had an opportunity to call a timeout, and Elliot Shannon hit a buzzer, or shot it with about 4/10 of a second left, and we were able to upset Hauser that night and you know, go on the next night and beat Waldron, win the sectional, and that's been the last sectional championship at Morristown. So, yeah, you know, very fond memories of that group, that game, you know, just a great atmosphere, a great memory. But obviously tonight's got it, you know, we're focused on tonight, not 11 years ago.
Well, let's do a more recent memory then that applies to tonight. You've seen this Hauser team, obviously, even though it, too, in itself, was a long time ago as far as a single season goes. What was key about Hauser winning that game, and what from that game applies to the rematch tonight?
Well, I think first and foremost, what really stuck out to me was we just allowed the ball to get in the paint way too easily, and not just we let Gross just get the ball way too easy, but I mean we allowed the ball to get in the paint off the dribble. So I think that was one thing that really stood out to me. I thought we got a little complacent with the tempo and the transition, got stagnant versus their zone. And then, you know, we kind of early on, we had a nice lead. And like I said, we just allowed the ball to get in the paint and got a little, kind of got just a little methodical and not playing more of an up tempo, faster paced game. And so, you know, I think that's kind of been a focus a little bit. You know, in the fourth quarter, we made a real nice run at them, but unfortunately they hit a deep three late and hit some free throws and were able to kind of seal the victory. But you know, I think both teams are a little bit different from that first game. I think more than anything, just, you know, there's some things that are carry over, but I'm not sure that game plays much role or significance in to tonight's matchup.
I know when people, if they're not delving too deep, just that first thing that comes, if you look at a roster or see them walk in the gym, the realization of how big Hauser is, especially Gross at 6'7". But it isn't just a matter of necessarily big guys who can catch low and then take a shot in the paint. These are, especially Gross, accomplished passers who can help initiate offense.
Oh, there's no question. I think, matter of fact, that might be his greatest attribute. I mean, I just think he sees the floor so well. He's so unselfish. You know, I've talked to, you know, a couple of college guys. It's like, you guys got to look at, you know, come look at this kid, because he's really a nice player. He's well schooled. He's got great footwork for a kid his size. But yeah, I mean, his passing ability is very, very good. He does a really nice job of looking high low with Compton, and you know, he's able to kick out for some of their perimeter guys to get shots. So, you know, I think you got to be careful how you play him. You kind of got to pick and choose a little bit what you're willing to give up and what you're also willing to try to take away.
And if you get them to miss the first shot, you can't afford to allow them to shoot twice more in that same possession.
Oh, no question. I mean, I think, you know, I think for us, from a defensive standpoint, we've got to find a way to try to keep the ball out of the paint as much as possible. That's the first and foremost thing. I think, you know, the other thing is we've got to rebound. We've got to limit them to one shot. And then, ultimately, I think we've got to get the pace of the game up. I mean, we've got to get the tempo up. We've got to get out and get out in transition. You know, don't allow them to set their defense. You know, when do some of the things that we've shown that we can be pretty good at. And, you know, so I think those are two really big points of emphasis going into tonight's game from a defensive standpoint, keeping the ball out of the paint. From an offensive standpoint, you know, trying to get the tempo, play a little bit faster, get the ball out in transition, not allow them to set their defense, and kind of go from there.
And you mentioned getting up and down the floor. This is a team that we've seen a little bit of a pattern from this Hauser team, and you even witnessed it in that meeting back in December. They'll play man-to-man. We watched it against Rising Sun in the sectional quarterfinal. But as that didn't work so well, they are certainly willing to go into a zone, and they did that against you as well back in December.
They did. And you know, I guess I fully anticipate them starting the game off man, but I think we'll see their zone. They've got some length. They've got some size that, you know, they play their zone very well. It's important that we, you know, not just stand and get complacent and moving the ball around the perimeter. We've got to attack gaps. We've got to get the ball to the short corner in the middle and put some pressure on them. And then, you know, just go shoot our normal shot, not get, you know, distracted by Gross's size or anything. Don't try to just make contact, just shoot our normal shot. And that's, you know, we've really focused on that the last couple days. You know, I mean, even as we were preparing for Waldron, we talked about, you know, because we thought, you know, if we could get the ball in the middle of the paint, you've got to shoot your normal shot regardless of who's there. Don't just try to get fouled or get a call, you know, just, and those types of things will happen, but take advantage of what they give you, shoot your normal shot, and you know, let the chips fall where they may.
It'd be good enough as it is, but now it's the nightcap game. Jack Sindel and Oldenburg can warm things up at 6 p.m. The atmosphere tonight should be terrific.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great high school atmosphere. I mean, you know, you, from a fan's perspective, I'm not sure you can ask for a better scenario than what you've got tonight.
Good luck in this one.
Thank you.
Morristown head coach Scott McClellan will continue on the pregame brought to you by Stanley Jones Insurance on Giant FM Sports.
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Johnny McCurry, Jason Parker, Stanley Jones Insurance pregame report. For the Hauser Jets coming into postseason play, it had been a week and a half since they had last played, knocking off Indian Creek on February 17, 68-61. Some teams would like to get the bye, go right to the Friday semifinal, but for Hauser head coach Griff Roth, playing Wednesday night, defeating a tough Rising Sun team 69-51, seemed to be the way to go.
Didn't get a bye, but we was okay with that. We're off for a week and a half, so we need to get a game underneath our belt, especially when we got to turn around and play Morristown.
You guys are on a roll as far as wins and losses go. Looks like a good, strong finish to the season.
Well, yeah, we've won six in a row, I do believe, and we finished up with a couple hard teams and feel like we're doing okay. But we still got the powerhouse coming up. If we get a chance to play them, we got to beat Rising Sun first, but then we got the powerhouse of Morristown we have to contend with.
If you would, take me back to the first meeting. Man, it was a long time ago with Morristown, and give me an idea what that game, how that plays into meeting them again.
It definitely helps the kids' confidence, you know, that they beat them once. But they also know how good they are and what kind of season they've had. So, you know, there's got to be a lot of preparation go into playing them again. But we were fortunate to play well that game. So basketball is basketball. You never know. So hopefully we can play well again.
How did you work on defending, say, Langcable in that game? And is it a man-to-man responsibility, or is it a more of a group effort?
Well, if I recall correctly, we had two or three different guys on him different times through the game. Hard kid to defend. I know last year in the regular season when we played him, he scored like 42 points and he was 20 to 21 from the free throw line. So we obviously didn't do a very good job, but we'll put our best guy on him, see what we can do.
As you've gone through this season and you play especially another 1A ball club that can't quite match the size and physicality you offer, what have you seen teams try to do to you to try and counter that? And your big guys pass so well, it seems like they take advantage of that whether they're the one scoring or not.
Yeah, and that started again last year because people are going to, especially 1A schools, 2A schools, are going to double Alex. So, and he was a good passer anyway, but he's just become better. But when they double-team him, we've got to do something. So we try to have other guys available when he gets his double-team. And if they don't, you know, hopefully he can make a move and take it to the hole.
Hauser Jets head coach Griff Roth with us on the pregame report. Coach's Conversation brought to you by First Bank, Shelbyville. Time to turn our attention to our starting lineups for this matchup between number 4 and number 8. First, for the visiting team on the scoreboard, the 22-2 Morristown Yellow Jackets, coached by Scott McClellan, averaging 73.4 points per game, giving up 51.3 on the defensive end. At a guard, a 6-foot junior, number 22, Logan Laster, third on the team in scoring at 12.1 per game, and helped to kickstart things in the win over Waldron Wednesday night.
Yeah, big shooting night, big ability to get to the basket. Morristown needs him to play big tonight.
6-foot senior guard, number 23, Eli Strebel. 15.6 per game, most threes on the team this season.
Defensively, Eli needs to step up big tonight, knock down some perimeter shots, but I think where he plays a big role is defense. He's got the athletic ability to play with these guys. He needs to really shine on that end of the floor.
A 6-foot senior guard, number 25, Hayden Langcable. 26.4 points per game, 6 rebounds per game. 32 points, 8 rebounds in the earlier meeting with Hauser. Topped the 40 mark when he saw them on the road last season.
Yeah, 32 in the last time out. Hayden Langcable simply needs to be a star tonight. He needs to carry this team, whether it be points, assists, rebounds, defense. Langcable needs to play one of his best games of his career tonight.
At a forward, 6'2 sophomore, number 32, Trevon Carlton. The sophomore going to be looking up at the Hauser front line.
Carlton needs to stay strong on his lower body. He needs to plant his feet and get strong low. That's where he's going to have some impact on Gross. He can't beat him up high. He needs to be strong down low and really root out Gross an extra step on a blockout.
At a guard, 5'11 junior, number 33, Logan Theobald, whose offensive game has improved. His all-around game has improved.
Logan just needs to stay steady tonight, take his baskets when they come, and not turn the ball over. They need a good night from him at the point guard position.
Morristown advanced to this semifinal, defeating Waldron Wednesday 68-35. For the Jets of Hauser High School, ranked 8th in the final 1A poll, 17-6 on the year, Griff Roth, his first season as the head coach throughout, longtime assistant under Bob Nobby, his team averaging 66.5 per game, giving up 54.5 on the defensive end. For the Jets, at a guard, a 6-footer senior, number 10, Mason Sherman, 13 points per game, good enough for third on the team. He shoots 54% from the field.
Well, Sherman might be the best athlete on the floor, and I'm really looking forward to that matchup, I think, with Laster tonight. Sherman, as he goes, so does this Hauser team.
Joining him in the backcourt, a 6'1 senior guard, A.J. Titus, just under 6 points per game and 3 assists, wearing number 14. On the front line, number 30, Justin Compton, 6'3 senior, very stout forward, 16 points per game, actually tops on the team in scoring. He's shooting 70% from the field.
Well, you don't have to look far to know how good Compton can be. Just back to that Rising Sun game 2 nights ago, it was really him and Gross that brought him back. You can lose Compton. He can slide down on that baseline, and when Gross gets out to the high post, they like to dump it down to Compton, and he's very good at finishing around the basket.
At a forward, Sam Meek at 6'5", a senior, number 34, 7 points per game. I think maybe he gets forgotten on this roster sometimes.
Yeah, you just got to play Meek straight up. Don't let him have it wide open shots. But he's one of the guys that you have to, you know, you can't leave, but you have to be willing to leave him to double team.
And listed at 6'9", senior forward Alex Gross, number 54, 15.4 points per game, 10 rebounds, 60% from the field, and leads the team in assists.
Yeah, he's a great passer for a big guy. He's seen double teams his whole life, so that's not going to surprise him tonight. Morristown needs to throw a little bit something different at him, but Gross can pass out of the double team better than any big man we've seen this year.
It's not simply a head-on comparison when you talk about the percentage chance of winning you might find on the John Harrell website. It compares Morristown getting to play Waldron on Wednesday night compared to Hauser against Rising Sun, etc. There are other factors. But with Hauser winning this matchup in December, I was fairly surprised to find that Morristown, a 55% chance to win this sectional, Hauser second in the low 20s.
Yeah, and you would think that the strength of schedule would play in, too, with Hauser playing a much more difficult schedule. But that final record, really, on paper, looks great, and Morristown comes in as the favorite.
Who is the favorite?
Well, I think Hauser is the team to beat only because they beat Morristown head-on this year and all the players are basically the same. Okay, so I think Hauser would be the favorite if you ask me. That may not be my prediction, but I think Hauser should be the favorite just based on head-to-head play and strength of schedule coming in. So if I were to be asked who the favorite would, that'd be it.
How does Morristown get this done tonight?
Well, I think Morristown defensively has to have hands on Gross, body on Gross as he crosses half court. You can't, almost like a wide receiver in football, you can't let him get a clean break off the line. You've got to get your hands on him. He's got to feel elbows, forearms, hands all night long as he's running down the floor. If you can get contact on him within the rules of the game, you've got to put a body on him. Don't let him run down the floor and get spotted up on the post, or it's going to be a long night. Morristown has to keep him from just getting clean looks. And if you're Morristown, you've got to run the ball. You got to play up-tempo basketball. You got to make this Hauser team run up and down the floor all night. We saw Rising Sun have some success with a press. You got to have some pressure on these guards of Hauser. Make them make tough plays for four quarters. And then I would drop back off that press into a tightly packed in 2-3 zone. Make Hauser make three-point shots. Don't let Gross get 30 points on you again. And I think the only way to do that is to pack it in with a 2-3 zone, as simple as that sounds. They just don't have the size to stay with Gross man-to-man.
If you're Hauser who makes it out of this, what did you do right tonight?
Well, you controlled the tempo, and you played through Alex Gross, and whether he scored 30 or maybe had 10 assists, but you were able to play through Alex Gross and control the tempo. And I think a big factor, Johnny, is how are these three referees going to call this game? Does Gross get in early foul trouble? Does somebody from Morristown get it? Because neither team's deep. So the team that can avoid early foul trouble, could be key. And I really think that on the big kid, Gross.
Mark Curtin, Mike Alford, Seth Lee, the officials for tonight's semifinal. Hauser, home whites, trimmed in black. Morristown, the road gold, trimmed in black. And we're set for tip-off, brought to you by Penny Acres with Hoosier Realtors, here for life's big moves. Carlton and Gross in the center circle. Gross gets the tip, but it ends up in the hands of Logan Laster. Morristown with the opening possession.
Just
and
for the
Jets show a zone early.
Yeah, just for the record, I like Morristown by four tonight.
I hear your pick. After the game, I'll tell you what I told Scott McClellan earlier today.
All right.
Logan Laster on the point up top, and the Jets, instead of starting man, which is anticipated, and finding the zone, they've gone zone early. Laster, the penetrating move, the kick to Eli Strievel. Strievel, the catch and shoot three, and Jason, he's playing with a wrap on his right hand.
Yeah, he's fine, though. Big-time shot to start the game.
Hauser into the front court, and the Jackets will show us man-to-man this trip. Thumbs-down play call from point guard Mason Sherman. Catching the high post, back to the basket by Gross to Sherman. Jumps off the right elbow, missed the jumper, rebound tapped up, And I'm not sure if it's Sherman or Gross. I'm going to give it to the guy who's bigger, Alex Gross, on the tip-in. 3-2 Morristown. Baseline, Trevon Carlton. Jump shot, no. Rebound weak side, Sherman for Hauser.
Morristown playing man-to-man. We'll see how long they can play that. And there's an early foul on Gross.
That's really almost unfair. Trevon Carlton settled in behind Gross. He had his right foot off the floor, was off balance. Gross stepped back. I'm not sure he knew he was there. Carlton falls down, and Gross has a personal foul.
That's why I said it was so important. How are these refs going to come out? This is an atmosphere for them, too. They've got to remain under control themselves, and maybe they just got lost in the moment there.
Laster penetrating. Alley-oop. Langcable not able to finish. Rebound knocked around for a moment. Finally grabbed out of there by Hauser's Sam Meek. 3-2 ball game. Hauser looking for its first lead this trip up the floor. Carlton pushing Gross out onto the perimeter. Now Gross steps out, and they'll go into a reset as Sherman brings it around the right side for Titus. Titus for Sherman. Compton, head fake, dribble, head fake again, in traffic, Compton scores.
Yeah, Compton's really sneaky inside, and they can't be going on shot fakes like that. He got Morristown twice on there.
Laster, perimeter left, Langcable, defended by Titus. Now Laster, he'll look back to the bench and dribble it out towards center circle. Zone defensively, Hauser in the 2-3. They also played 3-2 last time they saw Morristown. Here is Strievel. Theobald in the middle. Out to Laster. Left open. He'll take. Miss a three. Langcable kept the rebound alive. Tapped it toward the backcourt. Tracked down there by Laster. Strievel up into the front court. Penetrating. Out to Langcable. A dribble. A three. No good. Long rebound back rim. Langcable finds it again. To the corner baseline, Laster. Into the defender, Gross. Missed it. Got it back. Missed. Got his own rebound again. Still under the rim. To Strievel for three. Missed everything. Gross on the rebound. Laster, good takes. You've got to take it up at that, but just not able to convert. Compton, Gross posting. Here comes the triple team. Ball knocked away. And a foul call on the strip.
Yeah, Hayden came around the backside there and just got Gross on his right forearm. Tough call, but a good one.
Langcable, probably more than anybody else, is the one who will venture out looking for double teams and
off
strips
Titus.
Of that time. His first foul, Hauser ball. Sherman around the top, onto the right wing. Coming out to the basketball is Meek on the perimeter. Pick and roll with Gross, but he missed him as he looked down low. Sherman baseline, floater, one hand, no good. Rebound contested, contested again. Meek has it, but his toe is on the line. Turning it over to Morristown. You can feel it from one side of the bleachers to the other and back again for this matchup. Laster on the walk into the front court.
I think the tempo, you would have to say, within the first 4 minutes here is with Hauser, not where Morristown wants it.
Langcable, Strievel, around left wing, Laster, screen from Theobald. Laster picked up by Sherman as he acquired him in the zone defense. Laster penetrating, takes it to the rim, and scores over Gross with the left hand.
Yeah, Laster not afraid to take it right at Gross, and that's a call that could be whistled at times.
Sherman double pump and still able to hit a 15-foot jumper. Mason Sherman's first field goal. Hauser leads 6-5. Morris down front court. Strievel, penetrate. Langcable in the corner. Spin, up and under move. Cannot get a shot. Now Theobald opposite corner. Under the rim. Langcable in the corner. Laster, now Strievel. Left side for three. Yes. His second three from about the same spot. Morristown, 8, Hauser, 6. Sherman defended by Theobald down front.
Strievel can really be a zone buster tonight if they're going to stay in that.
Ball dropped out of bounds. A knockout of the hands of Meek by Eli Strievel. It'll be Hauser ball, sideline front court.
And you can see here Langcable kind of hedging down towards Gross. He'll walk out a little bit now, but he's got his eye on a quick double team.
Titus with the ball backcourt, handing to Sherman to set the offense. 8-6 Morristown, 3:25 to play in the first.
Langcable willing to leave Titus.
Sherman dribbling midcourt, catching the high post area for Gross. To the corner for Titus. Pick and roll with Gross. Triple team there, and Gross scores anyway. Good feed gave Gross a catch that he could turn and look, and he ties the game at 8. Strebel front court. Laster toward the left baseline, Carlton. Here is Langkabel. Theobald in the paint. Bounce pass, perimeter Langkabel. Two-pointer off the dribble, in and out. Rebounded by Gross. He will outlet to Sherman down the left side. Game tied at 8, just under 3 minutes to go, first period. Sherman off the rim again, off the jump shot. It's missed, rebounded by Theobald. He'll push front court. Titus slows him up from going onto the wing. Now bobbles the dribble, but finally able to get it into the hands of Laster. Top of the key, holding Langkabel. Theobald right side. Strebel steps out above the arc. Langkabel on the left wing. He'll take the three left alone and miss. Rebound, Theobald back to the rim. Good for two.
Big basket there by Theobald. Langkabel, tough start so far. Nice basket, though, off the offensive rebounds.
10-8, Morristown. 2:10 to go, first period. Sherman lobbing in the high post for Gross and a push in the back by Carlton as he made the catch.
Daniel Brenneman about to check in. I think he'll play a big role tonight. Really the only true size Morristown has. We'll see what he can do with Gross.
Theobald and Carlton to the bench. Daniel Brenneman, 6'4", senior forward, into the ballgame. Kyle Krim, freshman guard, 5'11", in for Morristown. Inbounds baseline for Gross. Back to the basket. Double team, triple team. Ball stripped away. Loose ball recovered by Laster. He's into the front court. Going to the rim, and he's fouled on the take for two.
That's what Laster's got to do. He had everybody turning and running and trying to find where he was at. He really put the pressure on that defense there. Laster to the hole. He'll have two shots.
Personal foul on Hauser's Mason Sherman.
You know you're in trouble as a defender if you're running and turning over your shoulder trying to find where Laster's at. He's capable of making that happen.
Free throw, Laster is good. Morristown 70% as a team this year, and Laster one of the better at 77%. His third point. His second shot is good as well. Laster has 4 in this first period. Minute 55 to go, and Morristown with a 12-8 lead.
I like what Brenneman just did there. As Gross got to the free throw line, he just stood there and let him get that contact. You got to have a body on him.
Double team comes on Gross as he puts it on the floor. He passes out of it to Compton, and Compton rejected on the way up. Scott McClellan furious initially with the official. He'll question him a bit as he comes to the bench to make the call. Strebel thought he had it clean. But it will result in 2 free throws for Justin Compton.
Yeah, tough call there. Strebel up top with the block. But Compton will have 2. Third foul on Morristown.
Compton with a rare miss. You just assume if Justin Compton shoots the ball, it's going in. 82% from the line, 58% when he does take a 3, 71% from the field overall. He makes the second of the 2 free throws. 12-9 Morristown on the BP Doc Shop scoreboard. Krim right corner, Langkabel sideline, now Krim again. Baseline, Brenneman. Bounce pass in the paint. Laster elevates and scores.
Nice pass, Brenneman from the short corner. Had Laster cutting from the top. A great way to beat that zone.
5-point lead, Morristown, and Brenneman and Gross with some body up in the high post area. Sherman on the dribble. Down low for Compton, guarded there by Laster. Gross to the basketball. And Langkabel tried to be there simultaneously to catch an entry pass.
And he was.
But the foul on Langkabel.
No, he got there just at the same time. That ball's loose when it's in the air. And that's 2 on Langkabel. Tough call. Tough call.
4th on the team. Langkabel will sit. Theobald back in for him. Inbounding, Titus for Sherman beyond the arc right side. Morristown looking to go zone this trip. They're now into their 2-3. Meek in the corner, Compton. Back up top, Titus. Titus for Sherman. Here's Compton way out front. Now Titus. He'll drop it to Compton. Perimeter baseline. Underneath is Meek. Head fake. Got too far under the rim, though, and couldn't get the ball to crawl in. Defensive rebound, Laster. He'll push, take it to Theobald, and Theobald into the body of Gross scores.
Theobald doesn't make that shot early in the year. That's where he's really progressed and grown. very confident to finish a tough shot there.
16-9 Morristown. Here's Titus in the corner. Meek around the perimeter with Compton. Meek to Titus. He'll try a three, miss it badly. Rebound to Meek. He shovels it to Gross, and Gross couldn't convert, but he was fouled. He'll be at the line with 16 seconds left to go in the period.
I tell you, Hauser shooters don't look comfortable on the perimeter. They're rushed. They're not. They just don't look comfortable shooting the ball right now. Offensive rebounds have kept them, given them opportunities here. That was number three in the first quarter already.
Team foul number five on Morristown. The first on Brenham, and at the line is Alex Gross. Langcable will return. An offensive trip coming up the floor replacing Brenham.
But he's got to be careful not to pick up a charge here.
Gross with 5 points so far, and his second free throw is good. Morristown, 16 seconds to get up the floor, leading 16-11. Laster walking it up slowly, not even at the timeline. Now he is with eight. Top of the key, picks up the dribble. Left side, Langcable. 4-3, yes.
Big shot.
Hauser will not get a shot off at the end of the period, and the Morristown Yellow Jackets playing like the fourth-ranked team in the state.
Three threes from that left side, two by Strievel, one by Langcable to finish the first quarter. Big threes for Morristown.
Jackets, 19. Hauser, 11. At the end of one, you're listening to high school basketball, GiantFMSports.com.
Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive, every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Giant FM Sports High School Basketball, brought to you by McKay Manor, independent living for seniors, safety and security of assisted services. Morristown 19, Hauser 11. We start the second period from the sectional 60 semifinal. Winner plays Oldenburg for the championship tomorrow night. Hauser basketball with Sherman at the top, firing a three in and out. Rebound tipped out. Kyle Krim back into the ballgame for Morristown, tracks down the long rebound. Jackets right now without Hayden Langcable on the bench with two personal fouls, but a big three at the end of the first period. Morristown with Theobald around the perimeter. Into the hands of Carlton toward the right corner.
And now you might see Morristown be a little bit more deliberate with Langcable on the bench, shorten this second quarter a little bit.
Laster will penetrate into Gross. Gross holds his ground, maintains that tall frame, gets a piece of the shot, and claims the rebound. A minute into the second period. Baseline touch for Titus. Meek on the perimeter. Gross
getting
pushed out.
They're going to get Trevon pushing. He's being too obvious with it, but they didn't call it.
Sherman, a penetrating move, missed a 12-foot jumper. Morristown front court with Laster. Carlton baseline. Coming to the basketball, Strievel. In the corner, Carlton and Laster almost tried to catch the ball at the same time. Now they clear out the space.
Morristown 7-15 shooting in that first quarter.
Krim on the right-handed dribble, back to the left, shovels it over for Theobald on the perimeter. 6.5 to go, first half. Morristown leading Hauser by 8. Zone defense by Hauser. They've been in the 2-3 since the onset. Laster, Krim, he'll take the jumper and hit the 3, Kyle Krim.
I'm telling you, they didn't have that back when they played the first time in December. Krim had such a big element for Morristown.
Titus in the corner. Morristown playing its zone, and now down low, we continue to have Carlton almost like he's going into a football stance. That's how low he is on Gross, pushing him out, and we do have a foul on Morristown off the ball.
Kyle Krim just got an arm on the ball handler right in front of Morristown's bench.
First on Krim, sixth on the team. I mean, Titus out of the ball game for Hauser.
If Trevon can get away with it, I'd keep pushing on him.
Number 20, Joe Sweet, a 5'9 senior guard, a little bit more perimeter-oriented for Hauser. He can hit the three. He has it on the right side, and his shot is blocked by Strievel. Strievel taps the ball down court, tracks it down, and he's fouled on the way to the rim. He makes the layup, and they count it, and a foul. And I'll tell you, in all the years I've watched Eli Strievel, and we've seen him throw down dunks, etc., with the steal and the knock of the ball, that may have been the best drive end-to-end I've seen him make, because it was contested all the way.
He stayed strong all the way through, and Eli's got good eyes tonight. He's got game eyes going on. He's already started hot. Look for that to continue. Up 13 now with a chance to go 14.
The foul on Joe Sweet, his first, team's third. Strievel trying to complete a three-point play. He cannot miss the free throw. Rebound, Gross. Timeout, Griff Roth and the Hauser Jets. 5:42 to go first half. In other words, a long way to go.
Long way to go, but a dangerous time for this Hauser team who relies so much on pounding the ball down to the post. They're not a huge come-from-behind style team, so they can't let this Morristown lead grow anymore because Morristown's going to keep scoring too. They've got scorers up and down their lineup, so Hauser's got to get this under control quick here.
Hayden Langcable has, albeit a timely three-pointer,
three-pointer. Yeah, they're really doing this without Langcable so far, and that's even more impressive.
Teams break huddle. Hauser basketball from back at three-quarter court. And the Jackets with Krim and Theobald up top. Laster, Carlton, Strievel along the back line into their 2-3 defense. And Carlton really in man-to-man form dealing with Gross. Gross into the high post area, picks up the dribble, looks for the back cut, nothing available, gives it up to Sweet. Now Sherman, holding beyond the arc, right wing. Gross dumps it low to Compton, bottled up, but able to step back from Laster and get the shot off. Yeah. Justin Compton is a very patient interior player.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, Morristown's defending that high-low option really well, and they stuck with it, and Compton finally got one.
Logan Laster is making mincemeat of the Hauser zone. He catches below the free throw line, takes it right to left around Gross and scores with the left hand.
And that's what I'm saying. Morristown's going to keep scoring at a pretty rapid clip. So for Hauser, they've got to get this. Their defense has to get better.
A three try off the mark. Will Trotter in the ball game for Hauser, but the Jets come up with a rebound. And they'll turn it over, though, when Sherman tries to drive and spin through a double team. He travels as he falls to the floor. Gross will get a breather for Hauser. Number 40, 6'4", junior forward Sean Miller into the game. For Morristown, Krim goes to the bench. Langcable back on the floor playing with two personals. And Daniel Brenneman waits at the scorer's bench for the next dead ball. Langcable getting a screen from Laster that Joe Sweet punched out of the way. Not literally, but figuratively. Here's Laster in the paint to Strievel. Right corner, barely shaved the rim. Rebound Sherman. He'll push it up the right side. Theobald, good hustle to get in front. Now Sherman's into the paint, and Theobald got a piece of him with the body, called for the block. First on Theobald, but it is the seventh on the Jackets. Hauser goes into the bonus. Brenneman in for Morristown. Carlton will get a seat. .423 to go first half, and Morristown with a 13-point lead on Hauser. Mason Sherman to the free throw line for the first time. Third on the team in scoring at 13 points per game. The front end of the one and bonus is good. Sherman very good at the line, 79%. And for Gross, he was out of the game just long enough to get a drink and a towel. He's right back in. Sherman with 3 points so far. Second free throw. No good back rim. Laster on the rebound. 26-14 Morristown. Jackets front court. Langcable to the left of the key. Strievel right side. Brenneman with a catch. I think that ball intended for Laster, but Brenneman ended up with it. Now down low to Laster. And again on the left hand over Gross.
They're not going to stop that. They've got to change something up because they're not going to defend that any better. Laster's going to keep doing that all night long.
28-14 Morristown. Sherman flipping onto the right side. A catch there for Miller. Sherman for three. High off the rim, over the backboard, and out of play.
See, Sherman's not comfortable there. He's a driver. He's a slasher. He's not comfortable with a spot-up three.
Well, when you look at the Hauser percentages, Justin Compton by far the best, but he doesn't shoot that often at 58%. Yeah. Sherman at 34, Titus at 33, Sweet at 38. They're not bad numbers,
yeah,
but they're not good numbers.
But with those numbers, now comes the amped-up pressure pack of this game. And
Strievel for three. Left corner, got it. His third three, 11 points. And Morristown now by 17. Gross a catch down low, can't finish. Laster the rebound, Jackets to run. Laster the push, coast to coast, step through a defender, and fouled as he goes to the rim.
And he made the shot, but it was on just a little bit after he released it. They're going to call it on the ground, and they're going to call an intentional.
They are going to call an intentional. A literal grab as Laster went through. So free throws and a possession coming here with 3:15 to go and a 17-point Morristown lead. The foul on Sean Miller. Free throw good. Oh, sorry, off the back rim, no. One more coming. Laster, 2 of 3 at the line. Second shot is good. Compton will check back in for Hauser. He'll replace Miller. Carlton into the ball game. Bredeman will stay in. It's Laster who gets a well-deserved breather.
Yeah, Laster's dominating this game so far.
11 points for Laster, and for the most part, taking it to the rim to get it done.
5 rebounds, 6 assists as well.
Inbounding Langcable baseline. Theobald out front. He'll give it on the bounce to Kyle Krim. 3:05 to go first half. Morristown leading Hauser by 18. Langcable sets up in the high post area in the middle of the Hauser zone. Puts it on the floor. Head fake. Tried to get through the defenders. Forced it. Not a good decision. Ball never got to the rim. Picked up by Sherman. Sherman, a quick look up court for Trotter. Compton around the horn. Left wing now. Sherman. Morristown back into the 2-3 zone, and we have Bredeman and Carlton on the floor simultaneously right now for Morristown. Gross above the free throw line. Down to the post with Compton, and Bredeman going to be called for a hold as Compton made the catch.
Had too many hands on him once the play came to Compton. You can get away with that if the play is away from you, but once the ball comes to you and all eyes come to that guy, you got to get your hands off.
Logan Laster right back into the ball game. Bredeman just picked up his second personal. He comes out. On team foul number 8, Compton at the free throw line where he is 1 for 2. Makes the first.